Hello, you're stuck in traffic with Wolf Gorlick. A couple minute riff on IT and IT security. Today, looking at Facebook and the fact that there's some images that were used to distribute malware, including ransomware. You know, this story comes to me by a good friend of mine named Steve Reagan. Steve Reagan writes for CSO. I found a number of news sources, and Steve is definitely one of them. And it was an interesting story because I felt that it really called out two main points that can sometimes be overlooked when it comes to information security. One in terms of how malware gets on our machines, and another in terms of how whitelisting works or does not. So, tip to you, read some news. Everyone reads some news. But when you read these news sources, try to figure out what it means for your particular control. So, for example, we talked about Bloom, defense in depth, right? The whole tower games where there's multiple controls in each layer and these controls tend to fail. But you need to have enough controls across the path that the attacker takes to stop them. If you think about preventing an attacker from delivering malware, you know, one of those controls might be application whitelisting. So, or website whitelisting. So you may say, okay, only these apps can work with these websites, or only these websites, period, can get onto our system. Now, when you do that, almost immediately people are going to say, I need Twitter and I need Facebook. Someone's going to be like, whoa, I can't do my job without Facebook. Are you crazy? And next thing you know, there's an exception for Facebook. I have can't think of a corporate environment where I went into that had website whitelisting that didn't allow Facebook. So one, what that means is the criminals are going to be motivated to try to use sites within your whitelist so they can get malware in your environment, right? That's the whole idea of trying to bypass your controls. So you think about the path, and they're going to try and bypass that one and get a couple balloons across the line. The second thing to think about is that effectively everything is bits and bytes. And bits and bytes can be displayed, or bits and bytes can be executed. And this is either something very profound or something very simple, depending on how you think about it. It can be easy to overlook. Hey, an image is an image. Well, it's really only an image because those bytes have been read in and rendered by an image processor. Those same bytes could be read in and executed as code, right? If they're formatted, of course, in the right way. This is even more problematic for vector graphics, which are really XML files as opposed to, bitmaps, which are just simply maps of bits. that display the color. So SVG is an XML file. Now, the way this attack came, and you can read again on Steve Reagan's article about this, the way this attack came together was an SVG file with XML was sent through channels with Facebook Messenger. Your whitelist says, Facebook, come on in. The SVG comes through, and then that XML file gets interpreted and executed as opposed to being displayed by your browser. When that happens, the next step was to say, okay, hey, you need to install Kodak. It sent you to a malicious website and try to get you to install things. And of course, after that, you know, the attackers are going to put on additional software and eventually do some criminal activities on your box, such as ransomware. Now, the key thing is this. When you read articles like, oh, no, Facebook was ravaged. Okay, great. what does that mean to my organization? Think about that path and think about what controls that new attack vector would bypass. In this case, again, it's bypassing whitelisting. And then start thinking about the very next step to take. What's the next step to take when SVGs are being delivered on whitelisted sites? You tell me. Hit me up in comments on social media and have a good one.